So, hello, welcome Bonnie Langford to Magic at the Musicals. Honestly, I cannot believe I am saying that.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. I want to hear it.
Oh,
I want to hear the music.
Nice. So I've got to ask you straight off the cuff, how's your lockdown going?
Well, do you know what? Compared to a lot of people, it's absolutely fine and great. But I think, like everybody else, we're going through those sort of phases of thinking it is endless.
Yeah.
And there's almost a comfort in that endlessness sometimes. And yet again, there, you know, I think we're in a slight sort of state of delusion some of the time. And then other times you get through those things where you think, oh my goodness, I should be making so much of this time. I'm not doing things. And,
yeah.
You know, up and down,
but you
just
feel
up
like
and down like everybody else.
There are moments it's really slow, but there's also kind of, I can't believe how many weeks have gone by. And like you said, you wanted to do things. I haven't done anything. I haven't read the books that I wanted to read. I haven't started, you know, the sort of activities. I mean, have you taken up any sort of hobbies or activities in this time? Or are you like, no, put my feet up?
No, nothing at all. I mean, what I did was, to be honest, I have never had a period like this in my life, really. Well, not for a long, 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 long time, probably. And at first, because I'd been sort of being, I think probably without a break for about 5 years, I was really quite excited by it because, like everybody else, it was that whole mad thing about when you think you've got a bank holiday and you suddenly decide to decorate or do a room or do whatever or clear out cupboards. I'm a mad clearer outer. I love doing that. But of course, then you can't actually take the stuff anywhere to the charity shop or to the dump or pass it on to anybody.
Yeah.
So all that sort of immediate euphoria was quite uplifting and exciting.
And now,
and then you start to get into a pattern that's not necessarily helpful. I'm not really very good at going to bed early. And I find that, you know, 2 o'clock is now my you know, go-to time. It's not healthy.
Oh,
so I have got to do things like that. You know, you just sort of go.
And you're probably used to, because being on stage and finishing, when you finish late at night and you've got that sort of adrenaline, but it also, you have maybe a few hours of the adrenaline keep going, but then you get tired and you're ready to sleep. But like you said, if you're not doing that, you kind of feel like, oh, I'm not exhausted. You're used to physical exhaustion sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah, this is true. And also people. I do miss people. I miss people. I you know, I do phone people up, but then it's not the same, is it? You just miss people. You miss that different interaction and just seeing things.
Yeah.
In fact, last week, my daughter and I'm in lockdown with my 19-year-old daughter, who is at college but isn't at college, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
And I think it's very difficult for them to keep inspired and to keep connected and just to have the minutiae of something happening that you witnessed, you know, oh, somebody fell over in the street today or something like that, you know, those sorts
of
things. And as you say, where's the adrenaline?
No, absolutely.
Not really happening. And some of the time that can be great, but just to keep self-motivated is kind of challenging, while at the same time
being at home,
you know, we have got to be, we've got to be aware of the fact that the alternative is so awful and so terrible, and our NHS workers and our key workers are just being amazing, and to whinge
day,
about not doing anything.
It's going to be an end at some point, you know. So
exactly. And as I say, last week, so my daughter loves taking photographs. She studied photography for GCSE and A-level. And she loves theatre. And she said, you know what, I'd love to take photographs of the theatre's dark, which we call dark, when there's nothing on, when there's no shows on, when the lights aren't on. So we got in the car and we drove up to town and we parked in Covent Garden and we walked around and she took photographs of 25 of the theatres.
Oh, wow.
And it was really weird.
Oh, I bet it was really,
really weird.
But it must be lovely to kind of see, I mean, yes, eerie and weird, but I don't know, that kind of stillness and to capture it, to be able to capture it, because hopefully, let's hope this is never going to happen again. But it is, you know, hopefully a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah, it was eerie. And after a while, you know, we walked most of the time because it was, I didn't like standing still. I thought, oh, it's just really weird. Take your photographs, get on with it. We walked quite a way. And I was quite glad to get home. Isn't that weird?
That's
I was quite glad to get home.
Now, I've got to say, because you're an absolute all-rounder actress, singer, dancer, and you've been in show business, I mean, your entire life.
Yeah.
Now, you've worked with many, many huge names in the business. What screamed out was, you working with Angela Lansbury on the production of Gypsy 1973-74. I mean, that must have been incredible. How old were you?
Well, I started off, because I did it over a period of about 3 years, not the full time. So I started in the show, I was 8 years old. In the production at the Piccadilly Theatre. This is the first time Gypsy had ever been to London, and it's the first time it had ever been directed by the writer, Arthur Lawrence.
And Angela Lansbury was in that one as well as Broadway, wasn't she?
Yes, so she was in it at the Piccadilly Theatre. I played Baby June for the first 40 days, because at that point children were limited to only working 40 days a year. So I did the first, basically 6 weeks, let's call it. So I did the previews. Strangely enough, previews didn't count. That's strange. And then I did the 6 weeks, and then I had to leave the show. And at the end of my six-week period, the producers asked my parents if they would be interested in and would think about or consider that I could go to America with the show when it went the following year with Angela. This my parents didn't believe them. They thought they were just being nice, and so they didn't consider it at all until they called again and said, have you thought about it? And then that started a very long story, and the following year I went to America, and I did the show there for we went to 14 different cities on a national tour, and then we ended up on Broadway.
That's incredible. And so, and I mean, that's like massive, because at the end of the day, how many children are out in America that they could have chosen? I mean, unbelievable.
It was absolutely nuts. It was the archetypal American kid part, and they wanted this British girl to do it. And they had to audition 500 kids at an open call in America with American Equity there, and they had to say why these 500 kids weren't the same as me.
And brilliant.
And then I went over to America and did it. And you know, the world was a very different place then. Nowadays, you know, there is a very small divide between us and America. I mean, it is a large divide. But for kids, you get the American TV, the cartoons, the whole sort of...
No, we didn't then.
We didn't at all.
Three channels on our TV was
a huge culture shock. Exactly. There were only three channels, and they were never American television. You know, it just wasn't. So it was a big culture shock, but it was huge and absolutely life-changing, I think, really,
Angela
for me.
Lansbury, I've played her a few times on the show. I mean, she had an incredible voice.
She is the most extraordinary person. She is one of those people who is both a star and a normal person all at the same time. I think the word extraordinary applies to her, because she's ordinary with so much extra and very approachable. And, you know, I will never forget that experience. And she's still going. She is still going. She's 94. She's still going. And what an incredible person.
Brilliant. So let's have some Angela Lansbury now. This is It's Today from the 1966 Broadway musical Mammy.
Light the candles, get the ice out, roll the rug up, it's today. Though it may not be anyone's birthday, and though it's far from the first of the year, I know that this very minute has history in it. We're here.
It's a time.
Be lived on a weekday, so don't depend on a holiday day.
up a bowl, then order at the bowl and wait.
There's a thank you.
Something I needed and yet never knew. So stop the whistling and clapping, 'cause under the wrapping was you. And we'll give life quite a tumble, and we'll live life all the way.
I've got to ask, as a dancer, you are quite an inspiration. I mean, really, you're a stunning dancer with incredible energy, and just watching you, and even when you did Dancing on Ice, I was like, oh my God, it's just a joy.
Oh, that was crazy.
I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you stand. It's madness, isn't it? Like,
well, and most people say that being a dancer, oh, it's okay because you're a dancer, no. You can do that. Okay, we can all walk. Put people on ice, and you can say, okay, well, I can walk, but I can't stand
no,
up on the
ice.
I can't move my feet. I can't skate. And for a dancer, I have to say, it was actually harder because I didn't have the ability at that point. You know how you've got something in your DNA
you
where
you
just
place your body
have that in
and
your,
where to put
you
your
know.
Arms. And...
Well, it's the basic thing as well of just bending your knees. You know, dancers are told to point their toes, straighten their legs, pull up, as in, you know, lift up. All those things are completely the opposite for ice skaters.
How do you keep fit? Because, well, let's say doing something like EastEnders, which, what's it, 3 years in EastEnders?
Three and a half years.
So how did you stay in shape? See, that's pure acting, television work. And you went from, I think you went from TV to jumping back on stage in the revival of 42nd Street a couple of years back. And then obviously most recently, 9 to 5.
With Enders, it is quite tricky because the days are very long. It doesn't mean to say you're actually doing anything the whole time. Some of the time you can have full-on 12-hour days. And actually, although they're mad, they're great because you're busy. But, you know, some of the time you can also be in what they call first scene and last scene. So you're in at sort of 6:30, 7:15. You might do a scene at 8:10. It might take half an hour. And then you're not needed again until... Well, you don't know because you're on call.
But you
all
have
day.
To be there.
So
you
although they
the
do
studio.
Have a schedule, well, yeah, you have to be around. You can't go far. Even if you're in the last scene of the day, you've got to be ready and they'll sort of call you back. And some of the time, you know, there isn't anywhere to go. You can't make a noise. I'm whinging. It sounds like I'm whinging, but it is tough to just kind of keep.
Well, that's
your,
it. I mean, do you still do dance classes or yoga or what?
I try. Yeah. Yeah. Yoga, Pilates, all those things, bits of HIIT workouts because it gets over and done with quite quickly. Believe me, I am not. I'm not some kind of superhuman. I find it really difficult to get motivated sometimes, but you just got to get on with it. And remember that you actually feel better afterwards and do something you enjoy. You know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, you'll see people out running in the streets and they probably do feel better afterwards. Sometimes you look at them and you think, you look so miserable. You look like you're in pain. It hurts. Music is really important to me. Yeah. I don't think I could do it without the music.
Yeah.
Also, the guy who played my son in EastEnders is a major CrossFit fan, and he does this amazing, all these sort of
extreme.
He's so fit. I used to think, oh God, I have to keep up a bit. You know, he's really healthy, and that's kind of quite daunting and wonderful. When I went straight into 42nd Street, my character actually didn't dance at all, so I didn't have to do that. I mean, that was just marathon every night. Those poor
numbers.
Kids doing it, and Claire Hultz, who played Peggy Sawyer. Oh my! I just was in awe of how she used to do the whole show, and then suddenly there's this sort of 20-minute finale where she's literally dancing up. I mean, that I used to do it in the wings with her because I would feel meant that I was doing it with her. To you know, we'd and all those of us who were in the wings while those kids were having to do that extra sort of finale at the end of it all, we would try and stand there in the wings going, "Yeah, come on, you can do it," because you know, A, I felt guilty not doing it, and B, I just was in awe of the energy that they all had. So it was uplifting.
But I have to say,
it was great.
Well, you go to the theatre now and you do see some incredible performers who, like yourself, are what we call a triple threat. Your nieces are up there with them. Scarlett Summer, ZZ and Saskia Strallen are all extraordinary talents. And your mum also, she recently picked up a British Empire Award for her services to children in theatre and dance. I mean, what a family.
The one thing that I think throughout my whole family, not only my Strallen nieces and my sister, but also I have another sister who's got four kids and there's grandchildren and all that thing. The one thing that I think my parents and, and that generation have instilled in us all is that, you know, you've got to have a work ethic, that you can't sit around and wait for somebody else to do things for you. And it's also much more empowering to be, you know, to be working. I take my hat off. So my niece Sassy was in last year. She was in a tour of the Mousetrap for 10 months, touring the country in the Mousetrap.
Right.
I spoke to her on the Sunday, the day after she'd finished this 10-month tour. And I said, have you got anything, you know, what have you got lined up? And she went, well, on Monday, I start teaching my spinning classes and I'm also working in a bar. And then she didn't like working in a bar, so then she became a dresser on, the show at the Hippodrome? The Magic Mike. She was a dresser.
Nice. I can see why she'd want to do that.
I just took my hat off to her because she didn't turn around and go, well, you know, I'm going to wait for me to be an actress and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
she went, no,
yeah.
I finished a job. I need to pay my rent. I get back to work. I really took my hat off to her for that. So I was like, you know, there's no grandeur. It's like we've got, you know, I don't expect anybody to look after me. Yes, sometimes you have to wait for a good thing to happen, but you've got to keep the world turning.
Well, you just don't last in this business if you haven't got that kind of mindset. So we're going to play a track. Is there a show, a musical that either you've been in or not, or one that you just have a real soft spot for that we can play a track from?
Well, I mentioned Gypsy. You mentioned Gypsy, and it's very special to me. So to be honest, anything from that, one of those, I think, yeah, anything from Gypsy would be fantastic.
Thank you so much. Well, I can't believe that I've just spent 10 minutes chatting to Bonnie Langford. So thank you for joining
delight.
Me. It's been lovely talking
you.
To you.
And can I take this opportunity to wish everybody well and to thank everyone who is working in the NHS and anybody who is struggling, and just send my love to everybody in this sort of situation that we're in, and my support and also my energy to say we will get through this. Brought us all together, even though we can't be together, and that we've got to have hope and faith that we will do well. Brilliant. And the strength that we will come out of this better people.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much, Bonnie. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Okay, bye.